Welcome, everybody. Wednesday edition of the radio program record, the John Carlson Show, Talk Radio 570 KVI. Heard throughout the world. If you've got KVI.com, you just go online. You can listen to us. And we do have people listening to us around the world. And but, of course, here 570 AM every day of the work week, as we have been since the 1990s. All right. And boy, do we have a lot of stuff to bring your way today. Something happened yesterday on the King County Council that was unthinkable half a year ago, in a good way. We actually have good news about something the King County Council did that never would have happened 6 months ago. And it's not, in terms of policy, it's not a huge win because it merely keeps things from getting worse rather than better. But it definitely is an embarrassment to Dow Constantine that everyone yesterday on the King County Council voted to keep the juvenile justice jail called the Patricia Clark Juvenile Justice Center open. Keep it open. He wanted to close it. And it is a sign of how crazy these times are that we have at a time of unparalleled, unprecedented increases in violent juvenile crime, we have efforts being made within the King County Democrat establishment to close the Juvenile Justice Center. It's just so nuts. But that's what the people call themselves abolitionists because they're trying to suggest that they're the moral equivalent of those who wanted to abolish slavery in the 1850s and 60s. Only they, when they say abolition, they mean abolish the police and abolish jails. Abolish, frankly, the criminal justice system. They're lunatics. Okay? They're absolutely unserious people. They should not be taken seriously by serious people, but because they shriek and because they flame politicians and media people on Twitter, they have somehow intimidated them. And just the fact that this debate is even being taken seriously shows how ridiculous it's gotten. Anyway, Reagan Dunn, King County Council member, he simply had enough with all the nonsense because the politics, many of the King County Council members were starting to play footsie with the abolitionists and, you know, maybe one day we can get rid of the juvenile justice jail. No, you can't. And no, you shouldn't want to. The way that Reagan Dunn dealt with it is he said, okay, I tell you what, let's just vote on it. Let's just vote on whether to get rid of the Juvenile Justice Center. 8-0, they all said keep it open. Is it an election year, radio legend? Is it an election year, Big Mike?
We're doing math here, 2024? Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
All of a sudden, you know, the crazies have to be set aside by the opportunists, the liberal opportunists on the King County Council. Yeah, can't hang with you on this one.
This will be a great episode of Smarter Than a Fifth Grader. Here's the topic you're voting on. Kids?
So, anyway, we're going to talk to Reagan Dunn, who is going to take a well-deserved victory lap and tell us, here's the important part, what the vote means. What this vote on the Juvenile Justice Center actually means. Because politically, like I said, it would have been unheard of that Democrat members of the county council, particularly all of them, that they would have voted, declared publicly with their votes that the King County Juvenile Justice Jail should not be closed. Basically, Reagan Dunn forced their hand. So we'll get into that a little while later. But right now, if I'm not mistaken, it's Wednesday, isn't it? You know what that means. Our acclaimed, world-famous kind of contest, the legendary lyric of the week, is underway. You know how it works. I give you the lyric to a classic hit song from the past. And when you hear that lyric going in or out of commercial break, you just be the 10th caller. And see if you could tell us either the name of the song or the name of the group.
Yeah. Okay. Gotta wait till you hear the song, though. Don't call us and say, I know the lyrics. I'll tell you right now.
Yes. No. We will play it.
Once I figure it out and put it on the air.
We will play it sometime this morning. And when you hear it, again, pick up the phone, call 206-421-5757. That's 206-421-5757. Are you ready? Oh, wait a minute. What are the prizes?
No, that's not
what are the prizes?
I raided Riley's desk here in our promotion department.
Okay, are people excited? I'm not picking up the phone for nothing.
It could be worth it here.
What's the prize?
If you want to impress anybody, anytime they come to Seattle, you got to take them to Daniel's Broiler. We got that gift certificate, mm-hmm. gift card, $50 value. Four locations, whether you want to hang out at Leschi, there on the shores of Lake Washington. Bellevue, right there at Bellevue Square and all the shopping. You've also got downtown Seattle.
Very good friend of mine just on Monday. Mm. Birthday party for his wife. Where Perfect. Did she want to have her birthday party?
Perfect.
At Daniel's Broiler.
Yeah, they're known for their seafood and all their selections.
They had a little room there with the family.
Oh, yeah, they do have the private rooms, too. Look into that. Think about the holidays. You're not alone if you want to work ahead. They have takeout delivery and so much more. Bellevue, downtown Seattle, Leschi, South Lake Union. There's another one. Danielsbroiler.com. All right, four tickets. Washington State Fair starts this weekend on Friday. Closed Tuesdays. Keep that in mind, four tickets. John, this is not just one of the largest fairs and the oldest in our state, formerly Puyallup Fair, the Washington State Fair. It's one of the biggest now in the world. 165 acres and ample parking for anybody, easy access off the freeway, the exhibits, all the animals, all the fair food, all the rides. How long has it been? Four tickets.
Four tickets any day?
Any day except Tuesdays are closed.
Okay.
Just kind of restock everything and tune everything up.
Any day, and the Puyallup Fair gets underway starting this weekend?
This Friday.
All right.
Through the 22nd, so it's three full weeks.
And Mike, did you want to tell our listeners something about the Puyallup Fair, the Western Washington Fair, and Ari Hoffman on Monday, Monday, September 16th?
Well, I'm glad that you led the witness there because I'm like, my eyes were darting. I'm like, well, because like unrelated, you know, we're celebrating the return of KVI's Military Appreciation Mondays. Mm-hmm. And yes, indeed, the Ari Hoffman Show is going mobile. Both myself and Ari Hoffman will be at the fair on Monday, the 16th, time TBD, but I think we're looking at the afternoon, probably like 2 to 4, something like that. But keep an ear on KVI for updates on that. But yeah, we're really excited for the return of in-person having a booth for those Military Appreciation Mondays. It's a partnership that we're really excited to rekindle with the fair. But the thing I thought you were going to ask me, John, and because it's like the thing that I haven't really told anybody, is tomorrow, Thursday the 29th, I am heading out to the fair along with young Zach for the Washington State Fair Media Day. Like, they're going to take me behind the scenes, and they're going to have me, like, dip some corn dogs and, like, pet some animals and maybe go on some rides or something like that. So on Friday's shows, both Zach and I will have an update of our excitement at the fair behind the scenes. But yeah, I love the fair, and I'm really excited to get the opportunity to, one, go behind the scenes to get an insider look, but then also be a part of those Military Appreciation Mondays with the Ari Hoffman Show. So
here's what Big Mike, who's going to be bringing back a huge bag of scones for Friday's show.
Yeah. Go to, hey, real quick, thefair.com, everybody. You got to see the lineup of all the entertainment. You can still get an additional ticket for those concerts.
Yes. Here's what he means when he talks about Military Appreciation Day. On Monday, Labor Day, and the Monday following that, and the Monday following that, the 16th, all active and retired military, National Guard, National Reserve, and your families are invited to the Puyallup Fair, the Washington State Fair, for free. It's Military Appreciation Day, not on one day, on 3 days. The Monday coming up, the Monday after that, and the Monday after that. All you need to do, just show your military ID, and you and your family go to the fair for free. That's on, again, Labor Day Monday, and the 9th and the 16th. And you forgot the dramatic addendum to the announcement on the 16th. But my paperwork says that John Carlson was going to be at the fair on the 16th.
Wow.
And your card says Ari Hoffman. So let's just put them together. John Carlson and Ari Hoffman making a joint appearance at the Puyallup Fair.
Cool. With a side
Monday,
order of Big Mike, too.
16th. With Big Mike there to resolve any disputes. So that's going to be fun. We haven't done this in a while. And again, it's all about the Puyallup Fair. That's really the sign that autumn has arrived.
Yeah.
You know, football, yes, kind of.
It helps you go from that but summer
the
and
Puyallup
then move into
Fair
fall.
The Puyallup Fair is when you really, autumn is here.
Do you have a lyric for me?
I do. I'll give it out for our listeners who are waiting. Seasons change, and so did I. You need not wonder why. Seasons change, and so did I. You need not wonder why. That is your legendary lyric for today. When you hear it going in or out of commercial break, be caller number 10 at 206-421-5757. That is 206-421-5757. Seasons change, and so did I. You need not wonder why. There you go. All right. It is coming up on 16 minutes after 6. On Monday, many Americans remembered the third anniversary of the awful attack in Afghanistan as Joe Biden was removing America's presence in that country very chaotically, very ineptly. And you had 13 American service personnel killed and 18 more wounded. In fact, a total of 170 people killed in a suicide bombing there as America was, again, trying to pull our people out because Joe Biden demanded it by a certain date that he was told was entirely unreasonable. I don't care. That's the date I want. And two things here, very interesting. Neither Joe Biden, who has completely ignored the families of these 13, nor Kamala Harris made any kind of a public appearance to commemorate and mark that day. Families of the fallen, the Gold Star families, invited former President Trump to Arlington National Cemetery to participate not just in the wreath-laying ceremony there with the families of the fallen, but also to present flowers at each of the graves of soldiers who are buried there at Arlington. Trump changed his schedule so that he could accommodate their request. He showed up. You see him. Maybe you saw the pictures on TV of Donald Trump laying the wreath along with a servicewoman who's in a wheelchair because she was paralyzed from the waist down. Again, Trump made the appearance. Neither Kamala Harris nor Joe Biden marked that day. So now angry Democrats are attacking the head of Arlington National Cemetery for allowing the former president of the United States to participate in a wreath-laying ceremony. These people are just contemptible. Again, Donald Trump there at the family's request, who's showing up while Joe Biden and Kamala did not. So what do? Well, you attack Arlington for allowing Donald Trump to participate in the wreath-laying ceremony. You believe this? This is the same Joe Biden who came under heavy criticism from these families for how he comported himself in the aftermath of their deaths. As for Kamala Harris, she said just a couple of years ago that she was involved in every aspect of the decision-making in Afghanistan, said she was the last person in the room making these decisions with Biden. When asked if she felt comfortable with that, the decision he made, she said, I do. And then after the utter chaos, not only did we lose those Americans completely unnecessarily, but we left behind many, many hundreds of Afghan civilians who were helping us, who were working for us, who were employed by us. You don't think the Taliban has their names? We left them behind. We left behind Americans who couldn't get to the airport on time. They didn't care. And then they congratulated themselves for the most chaotic, inept, disgraceful pullout in the history, at least the history of this century. And you can bet that it played a part in Vladimir Putin's decision less than half a year later to invade Ukraine. Again, it just showed America's fecklessness and weakness at a time that you really didn't want Iran or Russia to see that side of this country. But that's the side they saw in Afghanistan from this administration. All right, it's 22 minutes after 6 o'clock in the morning. Here we got Big Mike doing an exceptional job this week, filling in for Philip J. Vandervoort III, who fled to the peninsula for the next couple of days with the social media sweep that's right around the corner. 27 minutes after 6 o'clock. Hey there, Big Mike. What are you hearing in the social media world this very moment in time?
Well, this is the biggest social media moment I think I've had in a while. Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg has admitted and claimed that the Biden administration pressured Facebook to censor content during COVID, during the pandemic. The Twitter 20, I heard it on the X, the social media sweep sponsored by Muckleshoot Casino Resort. And to start us off on that story, here's some audio from Como 4's Chris Daniels and his report.
It was peak COVID and peak debate about what was right or wrong information, and the White House openly pressured tech companies to moderate the conversation.
We don't take anything down. We don't block anything. Our point is that there is information that is leading to people not taking the vaccine and people are dying as a result. And we have a responsibility as a public health matter to raise that issue.
Zuckerberg says he now believes the government pressure was wrong and he's ready to push back if it happens again. Wow. Our email seeking response from the 12-member Washington congressional delegation was not returned during a week when many elected officials take an end of summer break.
Do you believe that Facebook is trying to suppress certain types of information?
No, I don't.
Katie Harbath is Facebook's former director of public policy and left in the spring of 21.
Meanwhile, there's a number of tweets that I'm seeing out on X this morning. You know, during the 2020 debate, Biden claimed that Hunter's laptop was Russian disinformation. That laptop was used as evidence to convict Hunter. Zuckerberg admitted that Biden pressured Facebook to censor it. Ergo, Joe lied. Another tweet here. Zuckerberg just admitted three things. The Biden-Harris administration pressured Facebook to censor Americans. Two, Facebook censored Americans. Three, Facebook throttled the Hunter Biden laptop story. Big win for free speech. Another tweet here. It's refreshing to see Zuck finally acknowledge what we've all known. Censorship of free speech is fundamentally wrong. But let's be honest, words alone aren't enough. A real shift begins with transparency. Facebook can start by making every government contract and requested for. So that's some of the buzz on social media this morning regarding this bombshell that Zuckerberg just says, the Biden administration pressured us and we totally censored information during COVID.
Yeah. Well, we have been telling people that that happened. It's good to know that now they're acknowledging that it happened as well. Hey, listen, we got a lot of stuff in front of us here on the commute with Carlson this morning. My goodness, Kamala Harris has just changed another position, and it's a big one. Wait until you hear right around the corner on the John Carlson Show. That's not the legendary lyric. Radio Legend is not playing the legendary lyric yet, because here is your legendary lyric. Seasons change and so did I. You need not wonder why. Now, you have heard that lyric many, many times before. Do you remember the song? Can you place it? Because both Mark Christopher and Big Mike, they recognize the lyric, but I can't quite place the song, which is exactly why we do this content.
Okay, see, everybody's calling now. Wait till we play the song, everybody.
They are. Again, we will play the lyric going in or coming back from a commercial break sometime here in the next 90 minutes. Could be very soon. Might be a while.
Four tickets for the Washington State Fair, which marketing, they should take that Freddie Cannon Palisades Park and kind of change the words. It'd be a great
Puyallup
commercial song for the Washington State Fair.
Anyway, that's, they have a song for the Puyallup Fair. They just took it out of circulation.
Yeah, because they changed the
name. Do the Puyallup.
Yeah, do the Puyallup. That was one of the biggest, but, you know, it's a Washington State Fair, so we got to get a new song.
So, anyway, 206-421-5757. I can't believe this latest flip-flop. I mean, it just takes chutzpah to change your position on this one. Kamala Harris now wants to build the wall. She now wants to build the wall. When Donald Trump was president and she was in the Senate, she said the wall was un-American. Now she's going to build the un-American wall. You know what's? It shows you the utter contempt these people have for the American people, that they think that she can reverse her position on this and be taken seriously. She doesn't give a reason why she's changed her position. She just changed it. That's exactly what happened. She's on tape numerous times endorsing socialized medicine and single-payer health care, which means the government-run, government-controlled, government-managed, because they manage so many other things they're responsible for, health care, and an end to private insurance. She's on tape saying this, you know, not 20 years ago, like 4 years ago. Then she now says, I've changed my position on single payer. She was very popular with the climate change crowd because she was in favor of banning fracking, hydraulic fracturing, a very useful way of generating, finding natural gas and oil, but primarily natural gas. She said, I've changed my position on fracking. Now, some of us change our positions over time. Usually it's gradual. Occasionally something happens that makes us change our position much more quickly. Kamala Harris hasn't given a single reason why she changed her position on fracking, why she changed her position on single-payer health care and an end to private health insurance in America. She hasn't explained why she changed her mind on that. She hasn't explained why she now wants to build a wall that she was cursing just a few years ago. And therein lies the problem. Okay, it's one thing for a person to change their mind if they have a reason for doing so. She can't give a reason. She just has her office issue perfunctory statements. She's no longer holding that position. And then she refuses to do interviews. We're in day, is it 37? She hasn't done any interviews or press conferences. However, she now says that she will do an interview if her running mate sits next to her. So it's going to be an interview on CNN with Dana Bash, who can be fair when she wants to, but whenever she's not fair, it's always because she's leaning toward the left. And so it's going to be a sit-down, taped interview, won't be live, They don't want a live interview. Look at how tepid these people are. J.D. Vance is out there talking to the press every day. Donald Trump is out there talking to the press every day. Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, neither of them have given an interview since Walz was named VP and for Kamala Harris 2 weeks before that. So now she's going to sit down for an interview with her emotional support running mate and face some questions from a politically sympathetic correspondent for CNN.
I will cackle if Tim Walz shows up with like a bright green like service animal jacket or service right. president nominee. Okay.
Squeeze my arm.
Yeah, there you
squeeze
go.
Squeeze my arm.
Exactly. I have a theory on this, John, I talked about this on the afternoon show during our coverage of the DNC, and I think this move for them to sit in the bunker is calculated. I had a theory that didn't quite pan out as I thought. We've talked about Kamala Harris and her awful policies and, you know, how off-putting she is, and I think she's not of this earth. Like, look at the way she handles a bag of Dorito chips. It's like people from this planet don't hold chips like that. My point being is I thought during the DNC, the American people would see Kamala Harris for who she actually is. Because we here in conservative media, obviously, we spotlight what Kamala is all about, but the American public might not be. I think that this bunkering by the Harris-Walz campaign is part of that. I think if they're trying to minimize their exposure to the average American voters, I think they're trying to minimize that exposure.
When she was running for president 5 years ago, Kamala Harris called Donald Trump's border wall, quote, a medieval vanity project, close quote, that was not going to stop people from coming here. Actually, he was doing a pretty good job of keeping people from coming here until further on down the line, the Biden administration opened the gates and they said, oh, well, here, you know, this gate's locked. Go down there. There it's open. But it's just, to me, an indication of what little respect these people have for the American people, that they think they can pull this off and that Americans won't care. Certainly the hyper-partisan Democrats won't. But the American people at large, they don't like it. Now, here's my suggestion. Here's the ad they need to run. The Trump campaign needs to simply show the top of a barn with a weather vane and Kamala Harris's face on the weather vane. It says, Kamala Harris was against a border wall. Show the weather vane blowing in one direction. Until now, she's changed her position and says she would support it, and show the weather vane blowing back in the other direction. And just on issue after issue after issue, because it's like 6 or 8 major issues, including some huge issues that we just outlined, just show the weather vane going round and round. And, you know, this is how much you can depend on Kamala Harris. You know, she changed these positions, again, not over a 20-year period of time, but over a couple-year period of time. She's in her early 60s. You would think that once you're that age, you would have taken a position and you would have held to it, that once you take a position in your mid-50s, that's pretty much how you are going to, those are the positions that are going to guide your decision-making. No, not her.
She has the power right now to do it, right now, in her current position. Well, can't you just get in there and write a thing and say, here, let's do all the changes now.
That's the other thing. On day one, she says, I'm going to take these actions. She's been there 1,300 days. What's she doing to get these things done now? Does the president not take his calls when he's awake? Does he not take her calls? Anyway, hold on un momento. J.D. Vance addressed this issue yesterday, and I want you to hear what he had to say. It's coming right up here on The Commute with Carlson, 47 minutes after 6 o'clock. Once again, your legendary lyric this Wednesday morning, when you hear it going in or out of commercial break, be the 10th caller, is seasons change and so did I. You need not wonder why. Good morning. All right. It's 8.5 minutes to Yeah, 8.5 minutes to 7 o'clock in the morning. You know, the guy who sings that song, I don't know the name of the group. I know the song. I've heard the song many times before. You wonder, what's this guy like that doing today?
The seeds are planted. The seeds pushing too hard.
All right. Here's J.D. Vance, who was doing some pushing on Kamala Harris, who, again, has said what she's going to do on day one of her administration. And J.D. Vance says, Kamala...
Kamala, I hate to break it to you, but day one was 1,300 days ago. You've been vice president for 3.5 years. What the hell have you been doing during all that time? The message from this crowd and this state of Michigan is you had your chance, you failed, and we're not giving you a promotion. And Donald J. Trump is coming back to clean up your mess, Kamala Harris, and it's going to start right here in the state of Michigan.
That is J.D. Vance in Grand Rapids, Michigan. That's one of those swing states that could go either way. I got to tell you something about J.D. Vance. He was not my choice for Trump's running mate. You KVI listeners already know that I was pushing for Governor Glenn Youngkin of Virginia, who would have been a great running mate. And you'll also recall that he kind of stumbled out of the gate a little bit when he first, you know, hit the road. And, you know, embarrassing comments that he made off the cuff in previous speeches, you know, the childless cat ladies, you know, that came back to, I was going to say bite him, came back to claw him there a little bit. But you know what? Over these last couple of weeks, he's really hit his stride. I've been very impressed with this guy. I like the fact that he's combative. He does interviews with the press. He doesn't lay down conditions. He doesn't need an emotional support running mate to be sitting next to him when he's being interviewed by the media. And, you know, kudos to him for doing so. That shows respect for the American people, that you're not hiding from them.
Yeah, you're getting to know him, too. Does he remind you of anybody? Over the years of all the politicians and...
He's kind of an original, Mark. That's a good question.
That's what I'm hearing, too.
He reminds me a little bit of Newt Gingrich back in the 90s when Gingrich was kind of this happy, joyful, but jousting warrior on policy and whatnot. But I don't know. No, J.D. Vance is a little more Midwestern. And I really think that he's doing a good job for the ticket now. You can go ahead and tell me what you think at 206-421-5757. You can call or text your comments because we pay attention to those comments. 206-421-5757. Your legendary lyric of the morning for our legendary lyric of the week contest. When you hear it, just be caller number 10. Is seasons change and so did I. You need not wonder why. Just call us when you hear it. 206-421-5757. Boy, it's turning into a nice day out there. We had a nice kind of pink-like sunrise. You know, you just see, you know, the mountains, they have the kind of this pink sheen to them as the sun was rising. Now just the sun is in the sky. It's going to be a great day out there.
Perfect morning. I was watching on the high heavens this morning, clear, looking for the International Space Station. It moved too far south. Couldn't see it this morning, but it's been passing over Seattle last few days.
And we have a lot of stuff we got to take care of this hour here on The Commute with Carlson, including in just a couple of minutes, a story that we would never have thought we'd be bringing you 6 months ago. 6 months ago, what we're about to talk about would have been just out of the question. And we're talking about a local issue right here in the Puget Sound area. But first, because it is Wednesday, you know what that means. It is our legendary lyric song contest. I read you the lyric from a classic song in the past, huge hit, and it's kind of continued to live with the times, stay up with the passing seasons, and it's still relevant today. So when you hear this lyric going in or out of commercial break, be the 10th caller and some nice prizes coming your way.
Daniel's Broilers, again, if you want to impress family, friends, guests, or just remind yourself how good a steak should taste. Daniel's Broiler, 4 locations. Just look at the menu. Daniel'sBroiler.com. Think about it maybe for the holidays. They've got party rooms here. I'd book them now. They're always a favorite. 4 tickets, John and Big Mike, to the Washington State Fair. Starts this Friday through September 22nd.
Otherwise known as the Puyallup Fair.
There you go. TheFair.com. Closed Tuesdays, but any day between the 30th of August here to September 22nd, use those. Hey, take a look at the entertainment, too. Maybe you want to get an added ticket on your own here. Steve Miller Band, Foreigner, Sawyer Brown, the Happy Together Tour. That's the Turtles, the Vogues, the Association, Ron Dante of the Archies, the Cal Sills, Badfinger. They got a great lineup there at one of the best venues, I think, for concerts.
Here is your lyric. Seasons change, and so did I. You need not wonder why. Just that short, clear, concise. Seasons change, and so did I. You need not wonder why. When you hear it, be caller number 10 at 206-421-5757. Again, that is 206-421-5757. There are only 2 Republican members of the King County Council. One of them just forced the hand of all of his colleagues to stand up and take a stand, meaning he forced a vote on whether or not King County should keep its youth commitment center, its juvie jail, if you will, whether it should keep it open, or maybe during a huge juvenile crime surge, this would be the time to close it. Dow Constantine, in the immediate aftermath of the George Floyd Black Lives Matter riot, said that he intended to close the center no later than next year. Again, this was 4 years ago. He said he wanted to close it by 2025. He said, because we needed to move public funding away, quote, from systems that are rooted in oppression, close quote. Just a remarkably ridiculous statement. By the way, 97% of the 48 juveniles in detention, 97% of them have been charged with felonies. So he just got weary of his colleagues playing games with this issue. And so finally Reagan Dunn said, okay, let's just vote on whether to open to keep it open or close it. They held that vote yesterday. And not a single member of this Democrat-dominated county council would vote to close it. They all blinked.
Will remain open, as we've been talking about. Those voting today say it is very important to them that they find alternative help for troubled youth.
The numbers really are staggering. Between 2021 and 2023, felonies committed by young people spiked 146% in King County alone.
Internet! He's got a gun!
With many of those troubled teens headed to a place that was supposed to be on the chopping block until now.
Vote is 8 ayes, 0 noes.
By a unanimous vote, King County lawmakers decided not to close the Patricia H. Clark Children and Family Justice Center until at least 2028.
It's giving a couple of guard.
This is Reagan Dunn.
Rails on where we need to be. The Clark facility will stay open. We're going to work on some other stuff as well, and I think that's important.
Other stuff being beefed up support for programs that'll get troubled teens on the straight and narrow.
I think where we landed is more comprehensive, and it also signals our desire to evolve.
Yet many people who attended this meeting flat out disagree.
Now, we're going to play you the comments of the people on the other side, and I want you to know that several members of the King County Council, all of them Democrats, were being held under the sway of activists and arguments like the ones you're about to hear.
What actually keeps us safe? If you house us, if you feed us, if you give education, if you give basic resources?
This country has invested in a cycle of harm and traumatization that ensures that you will continue to have an incarcerated population.
This vote happened as juveniles are staying at this facility a lot longer than in the past. In 2017, it was an average of 12 days, but now it's an average of 36.
And also talking about the juveniles staying there, it has gone up over the years. It's gone up steadily since COVID, but compared to 20 years ago, officials say it is still down substantially. Coming to you live from Seattle tonight, Ryan Sims, KOMO News.
And it's not clear that that's a good idea, that it's down substantially, because juvenile crime is dramatically higher than it was 10 or even 20 years ago. Nevertheless, Reagan Dunn gets all of his colleagues on the record. No, we don't want to close the jail. What do you think Dow Constantine is thinking right about now? Councilman Dunn, welcome to the show.
Good morning, John. Thanks for having me on.
What do you think Dow Constantine is making of all this?
I think Dow's pretty mad at me right about now, but you know what? It feels good. You know, his policy to close the jail and open up some ridiculous alternative that isn't thought through. And in his case, he was planning on opening unsecured respite houses throughout the community in Bellevue and Renton and Redmond. And it was just ridiculous, stupid idea.
In other words, you say unsecured, they would be put in home-like environments with no locked doors?
Right. Halfway houses out and around the community that somehow would be better for their healing. But what they forget to tell you is that 97% of those folks that are in there are for felonies, the overwhelming majority for violent felonies like rape and murder and aggravated assault and armed robbery. And they're not just there for first offenses, friends. These guys have long rap sheets. They have a continuing pattern of predatory behavior. It's just a stupid idea. And I was able, through some significant political maneuvering, to force the council to vote. And when you vote, all the BS rhetoric where you're trying to sit on the fence, it goes away, and you have to take a position. And at the end of the day, we got them. And that facility isn't just going to stay up until 28. It's going to stay open, period. And we were hemorrhaging staff because everyone was leaving. Morale was low. And now those folks can breathe easier up there as we're going to continue to do the operations. And we need to, with 146% increase in violent felony.
Yeah, if anything, I think the population of the Juvenile Justice Center needs to be much higher. I mean, again, we're talking, as you are pointing out, the overwhelming majority, 97%, are in there for felonies, and most of them for very violent felonies. There's other violent felons who are not being incarcerated who are repeat offenders who should be.
You're absolutely right. Well, the statistic is about 80% of those individuals will reoffend in the first 6 years. So it's a revolving door, as they say. You have to put them behind bars. That population was way higher than that. It was well over 200 for many years. And what's happening is they are releasing people out with no time or to connect with alternatives to incarceration, these little past the talking stick programs that are shown to not even 30% aren't even showing up. They're ghosting the programs altogether. And what is happening is
when they get an alternative to incarceration and they don't show up? Then what happens?
Well, you're supposed to be prosecuted, but recent studies, and this is why I've been calling for an audit now for many months to see exactly what has been happening and what we can do about it. They're just ghosting. They're not even showing up. They're not connecting. And there's a huge delay if they're being prosecuted at all. And so there is zero accountability for youth in our system in King County right now. Until now, we're starting to turn it around. Mm-hmm. And that is why you're seeing this 146% increase in felony filings for juveniles, because the system isn't working. The soft on crime, give them a hug, let them go in the community, doesn't work. And in fact, it's counterproductive. It only encourages more crime.
Well,
period.
Of course it does. I mean, you can make the case, Reagan, that if you use the conservative measurement of an effective system, i.e. lower juvenile crime, that's clearly not happening under the status quo. And if you use the progressive, the liberal measurement of a good system, i.e. Very few people in juvenile justice and hopefully none at all, that's not happening either, because they're going on to commit far more serious, severe, at times vicious crimes, and that's why they're in juvie jail longer, because they're committing far more serious crimes. Go ahead.
And the crimes are against minority populations much more than they are against to white people as well. So, I mean, it just hurts minority communities. All of this is bad. The arguments I'm up against are so bad. Oh, John, these are just our children, and they shouldn't have to go through the trauma.
That's not an argument.
Incarcerated.
An argument.
And
by the way, the trauma, have they thought about the trauma victims are going through?
No, it's all about the defendant, the criminal, the trauma for the criminal. Never mind the person that was just brutally raped murdered.
Help me out on this one, Reagan, because you hear these arguments. when it is pointed out, because they love to play the race card on these, you know, a disproportionate number of the people in these facilities are children of color, they will say. When you point out to them that the vast majority of victims of these criminals are minority, are people of color, what's the response?
That I'm a racist. I had that. I know. I had that half a dozen times yesterday. And look, it's just, it's obviously, you know, we have the intellectual and moral high ground on this issue.
Of course you do.
My colleagues, as liberal as they are, knew that. They didn't want to take a vote, but we forced the vote. And now remember, folks, you know, nobody wants to incarcerate a 16-year-old. But when they're raping and murdering and sexually assaulting people and they have a long pattern of doing stuff like that, you don't have any choice. And so that's why the taxpayer spent $230 million on building a brand new facility in 2020 that has classrooms, it has gymnasium, it has a library, it has facilities that can be expanded to help them out. And they're not there very long pre-trial. It just is a real basic, obvious thing. But, you know, in this county, as I've learned over the years, just doing something obvious, basic, good government is sometimes harder than it needs to be.
Okay. So you won a substantial victory.
Yeah.
What comes next?
Okay, well, so that fight, well, I think we're in a good spot there on the juvenile facility. The next is that now Dow wants to close the adult jail, the one right there next to the King County Courthouse in downtown, shrink it in size and reopen something reimagined down in Soto. So we got to stop that one. And, you know, you can't cite these things. I mean, it's like trying to cite a level 3 sex offender facility in your neighborhood. Like,
right.
People, you know, that's why you have jail. And once you have
don't
jail,
you want to have, there. I mean, just as a practical matter, yeah. Councilman Dunn, you want to have your jail close to your courtrooms?
Yeah, and we actually have a bridge. If you look across from the courthouse to the jail, we have a bridge because these guys are some bad people, and they wear different color jumpsuits depending how dangerous they are. Red means you're very dangerous, and they handcuffs. You got to have it together. This is just dumb. It's all Dow. Let me just say this: Dow's operating under the 2020 defund, disarm, and disparage the police mode. He hasn't been able to pivot. Even the Seattle City Council has pivoted. My goodness, it's time for King County to wake up and realize that those approaches to policing and the criminal justice system only fail and create way more crime.
Why do you think he's holding on to this radical position?
I don't know. I don't know. Part of me just thinks he just got tired of that very well-organized abolitionist movement who wants to tear down the criminal justice system and just said, what the hell? So my last term, I'll just let them get what they want to get, and I'm just not going to stand in their way. Okay. Unfortunately, that is absolutely the wrong attitude.
Well, you know, he's not going out on a high point. And again, I think putting more pressure now on the King County prosecutor to overhaul the way they are prosecuting juvenile crime needs to come next.
Yep, I agree with that too, for sure. Right. Thanks for that input.
Reagan, Dunn, good going. Thanks for joining us here on the John Carlson Show.
Thanks for having me on, John. Really appreciate it.
You got it. It's 20 minutes after 7 o'clock. We have Big Mike standing by with the social media sweep right around the corner of the Commute with Carlson. It is 7:20. Good morning. Okay, that's not our legendary lyric, thank God. Our legendary lyric today, haven't played it yet, but we will. It's from a great classic hit many years ago. Here you go. Seasons change, and so did I. You need not wonder why. When you hear that lyric going in or coming back from commercial break, just be caller number 10 at 206-421-5757. We got Puyallup Fair, Washington State Fair tickets coming your way. 4 of them. We've got a gift card to Daniel's Broiler. All of their locations, all 4 of them. So that's on the way when you hear that lyric. All right. Right now, you're going to hear lyrical poetry, if you will, from our Big Mike on the social media sweep. What's going on there, sir?
Well, I like that, John. Thank you so much for the introduction. Well, I've discovered on social media that Dave Grohl of the Foo Fighters might not be my hero for much longer. The Twitter 20, I heard it on the X, the social media sweep, sponsored by Muckleshoot Casino Resort. I've been seeing this making the round since yesterday. The Trump campaign disputes Foo Fighters' claim about unauthorized use of the song My Hero. Mm-hmm. Now, this goes back to Monday's show.
Good song,
where,
by the way.
Great song. It's a right banger, actually. I'm not the biggest Foo Fighters guys, but the songs that I like, I really like. And one of them is the titular My Hero. On Monday's show, we talked about Donald Trump accepting the endorsement for Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And during that presentation, RFK Jr. comes out. His walk-up music, if you will, was My Hero by the Foo Fighters. And apparently since then, there's been a discussion, discourse, debates, arguments about whether it was authorized to use that song or not. Former President Trump's campaign is fighting back after the rock band Foo Fighters claimed the use of its song My Hero was used during a rally without permission. A spokesperson for the band told The Hill use of the song was not authorized for the Trump campaign during a rally in Arizona with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. They added that any royalties the band earns from the song will be donated to the Vice President Kamala Harris's campaign. Obviously, Dave Grohl and the Foo Fighters, incredibly liberal. I try not to hold that against them, but what are you going to do? Quote, Foo Fighters were not asked permission, and if they were, they would not have granted it, the spokesperson said. On X, when the band was asked whether they approved the use of the song, the band replied no. And it's a Visual Daily Double, but they provided a screenshot of the reply. Basically, a user just said, hey, at Foo Fighters, did you let Trump use the song?
And they say no. What's the Trump campaign's response?
The Trump spokesperson replied to The Hill and says, we have a license to play the song. And the spokesperson also took to social media to dispute the claim. This one I like, if you're a Foo Fighters fan. It's times like these, facts matter. Don't be a pretender, he wrote on X, referring to two different songs by the band. And
Do they have a license to play the song or don't they?
Yes. So in music licensing,
you want to use your royalties for any purpose you want, fine. But don't say they didn't have a right to play the song if they've got a license.
Exactly. And that's what it is. I think us being a trio of salty radio folks would understand that more than most. The rights and license belongs to the record company. It doesn't matter whether the band gives permission or not. Anytime you do music licensing, you're not like... Excuse me, Dave Grohl, can I use your song? Do I have usage rights? No, you buy a license from the record company, which is what
you say. I'd like to play the song. Well, you need to call the record company for that. Okay,
there it is.
I called the record company. I secured the license.
For example, here on KVI and all of the Lotus Seattle stations, we purchase licensing from those licensing firms. That's why we get to do things like our legendary lyric and play all of our cool bumper music, because we pay licensing companies for the use of that. Right. We don't call the bands and say, hey, man, can we use your song? It doesn't work that way.
So Dave Grohl, who was formerly with Nirvana, if you're listening to The Commute with Carlson right now, quit your bitching.
Well said. And there's your social media sweep for this hour.
Well, it also sells music, you guys.
Yeah.
I mean, every time I play a song, how many times the listener goes, oh, man, that was just great. Nice relief. Nice breathe just to hear a song, you know, that we get to hear every morning.
You can buy individual songs now. You don't have to go out and buy the album.
Right. So we are licensed to have all this fun, music-wise.
You're listening to The Commute with Carlson, Talk Radio 570 KVI. Good morning. 24 minutes now to 8 o'clock, The John Carlson Show, Talk Radio 570 KVI. Do we have a winner of our legendary lyric contest, Big Mike?
Absolutely. I want to congratulate Pam out of Des Moines. She is our legendary lyric winner. And for her troubles, she gets a $50 Daniel's Broiler gift card. Check out danielsbroiler.com to reserve a table, place your takeout or delivery order, and more, as well as 4 tickets to the Washington State Fair. For more information, check out thefair.com for more details.
Oh, right. Okay. So that was, of course, the song No Time from the Guess Who.
Who?
They recorded the Guess Who, recorded this song.
Sorry.
In late 19... Well, actually, you know when it was? It was 55 years ago next month. September 1969, It was written by lead singer Burton Cummings and lead guitarist Randy Bachman.
Ta-da.
And reached number 5 in the U.S., the 3rd in a string of million-selling singles. Hit number 1 in Canada. The Guess Who, of course, is from Canada. Mm-hmm. When the Guess Who fell apart about 5 years later, Randy Bachman and his brother formed another group. Did you know this, Mark, that they formed another group?
Did they really? Bachman just sounds like a nice name for another band.
Yeah, right? It's kind of in the name already.
Bachman Turner Overdrive.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah.
So
let me add to that, though. We were talking about music licensing and, and ownership of songs. So here's Randy Bachman with Burton Cummings and the Guess Who. So Randy left, said, let's do, brothers, let's get a band together, right?
Yeah.
He's already got proof. I mean, the guy's a songwriter, great on guitar licks. Not one, not two, not 10, not 20. 25 record companies would not sign BTO.
What? Even after they hit fame with the Guess Who?
25 refusals. So people, if you're out looking for a job, go with the numbers. Don't get discouraged if you can't find a job, even up to 10 resumes here. 25 before Mercury Records said, you know what? Let's give these guys a chance.
Weren't they out of Vancouver, Washington, or Vancouver,
yes.
Canada?
Yeah.
Yeah, BC, not far away.
Interesting.
Yeah. Okay.
Unrelated, going back to our previous segment about music licensing rights, I was chatting.
We were licensed to play that.
Because we pay into ASCAP and BMI. And I was chatting
with... People hear my theme music. Good thing.
All of that, animals, yeah.
We
yeah.
pay for that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's out of the John Carlson Morning Show Fund.
I was chatting with young Zach, who occasionally has run-ins with like DJing and weddings and that kind of things. And he reminded me that regardless of whether the Trump campaign had usage rights for the Foo Fighters song My Hero, the venue would. You have venue rights. Very similar to like if it's a wedding venue, that venue pays those same licensing and royalty fees as well. So you would more or less Trump is double covered in this instance.
The media love going when Trump plays a song for one of his campaign rallies. And the artist happens to be liberal. The media love going to the artist and say, do you approve? Are you a Trump supporter? What do you think of Donald Trump playing your music? And the answer is, it's not my call. It's the record company's call. But instead, the artist say, he doesn't have my permission. I never said he could play that. Hey, dummy, it ain't your call.
Right.
You sold the rights to the record company, the label. At least you sold the licensing rights. You might have the ownership rights, the licensing rights belong to the record company unless your contract so stipulates something else.
This is where a lot of podcasts get in trouble, John. If you do a podcast, and how many millions of people do, you got to have licensing for those songs that you have on your show through the podcast carrier and streamer. It gets complicated.
Yeah, because there is a policing entity. It's not government. It's a private sector. It's ASCAP, ASCAP. And what they do is they basically spend all their time listening to media, television, radio, podcast, and if they hear something, they will check and see if licensing had been obtained. And if not, then you've got to pay the freight. You've got to probably pay back freight. You might have to pay a fine.
This was a nightmare in radio when I first started. We were spinning records, 45s and albums. One time a year during your show, you'd have to look at the record label of the song you're playing on the air and write down whoever the name is under publishing, document that. That's how they kept track of licensing and who gets the royalties, one at a time.
Okay, she's changed another position. No, not the position we were talking about earlier. We're talking about Kamala Harris has, we've talked about she's changed her position on socialized health care, which would outlaw private health insurance in America. She's changed her position on that. Hasn't explained why. Her campaign just said, she's changed, as if she's changed her clothes. And then she changed her position on fracking. The reason she changed her position on fracking can be summed up in one word, Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania is very pro-fracking because there's a lot of money to be made and a lot of jobs to be created and preserved, and a lot of tax revenue flowing to government by virtue of fracking while exploring for oil or natural gas. She had come out against fracking, wanted to abolish it. Now she just announced a policy change on that. Again, didn't give a reason, but that is the reason. And now she's changed her position on the border. She's willing to build out the wall. And now she's changed her position on another issue. This is just crazy. You know, we should start a daily segment. What's Kamala changed her position on today? Just 2 weeks ago, Kamala Harris had pronounced that she was at war with price gouging in the country, even though she mispronounced it.
And I will work to pass the first ever federal ban on price gouging on food.
Okay, top priority.
When I am elected president, I will make it a top priority to bring down costs and increase economic security for all Americans.
Okay, and how's she going to do that? By going after those terrible price gougers. And one more time.
A loaf of bread cost 50% more today than it did before the pandemic.
Oh, well, who was president before the pandemic when the price of bread was much lower? I think I'll vote for that guy.
Beef is up almost 50%.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
A good one.
I snuck that in there for you.
We got to play that one again.
A loaf of bread cost 50% more today than it did before the pandemic. Ground beef is up almost 50%.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
Okay. She's now walking back her war on price gouging or price gouging. Apparently, she unveiled. This was the one position. This was the one position that she had taken. The one position where she was clear about what she wanted to do. Where instead of just talking about platitudes and we're going to bring down pricing and we're going to have plenty of energy and we're going to support our vets. And we're going to support Israel, and we like the Palestinians. And instead of vague platitudes, feel-good language like that, she actually came out with a policy. And the policy was she was going to start this board to enforce price controls. In other words, the price of a loaf of bread in Saginaw, Michigan, wouldn't be set by the market, by what stores are selling bread for that day in Saginaw at various stores and locations, groceries, but on what the government in Washington, D.C. tells them they can sell the price of bread for. That is communism. It doesn't take too much to get there. Just a couple of fundamental mistakes on what the role of government should be and what it should not be. Role of government should have nothing to do with setting prices in this country. But as Politico wrote, Politico is a very liberal-leaning online political news outlet. They say, under pressure to defend Kamala Harris's grocery price gouging plan, some Democratic lawmakers are delivering a quiet message to anxious allies. Don't worry about the details. It's never going to pass Congress. In her speech, Harris said, again, I want to quote her here, "So believe me, as president, I will go after the bad actors, and I will work to pass the first ever federal ban on price gouging on food. My plan will include new penalties for opportunistic companies that exploit crises and break the rule." So now she's unwinding it. She's unwinding that watch. She is hitting reverse. She says, no. That's not what we're going to do. It was really just a minor suggestion of what I would do if there was an emergency like a pandemic and some stores were exploiting the price of food. But it's not what I'm going to do to simply bring down the price of food now. So, in other words, once even Democrats started pointing out how absurd her policy is, she quickly backtracked again. So now she's not only reversing her position on positions that she took a few years ago. Now she's reversing her position on positions she took a couple of weeks ago. ago. You are listening to the radio program of record, the John Carlson Show, Talk Radio 570 KVI. It is 11 minutes to 8 o'clock. Good morning. Back we are, the commute with Carlson. Peter from Burien. You're on the commute. Go for it, sir.
Hey, John. Nothing too serious, just a little fun fact about your lyric contest band. Actually, you were talking about the guitar player, Randy Bachman,
yeah,
who formed BTO, Bachman Turner Overdrive.
Right.
And I don't know if you or Mark Christopher knew this, but when they were struggling, they were booking gigs at smaller venues. And one of the gigs they booked was at a high school in Seattle, the Seattle area. And then...
Where'd they play?
One of their songs, I think it was You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet, or one of their songs became a top 10 hit in the meantime. So they made it big, but they honored the gig, and they played gig at, and it was in Burien, Washington. Maybe you can guess the high school.
Evergreen High?
No, Kennedy High School.
Oh, Kennedy. Really? JFK? Okay.
Yeah, in JFK in 1974.
Catholic High School.
And and everybody packed the gymnasium, and
wow,
my brother was there. I was not there. I was in the first grade at the time, so I did not get to enjoy that concert. But
that is a great story.
Peter did not know that. Yeah. That is so cool. Seattle gets another one.
Oh. <You bet. laughs>
Peter, great story. BTO, before they hit it big, books a concert at JFK High School in Burien, then hits it big, and they honored the gig.
Ta-da!
Good on them. It's 3 minutes after 8 o'clock in the morning, the John Carlson Show, Talk Radio 570 KVI. So nice to have you here. Hour number three of the commute, off and running. We have got a quick announcement for you here. The Puyallup Fair, now known as the Washington State Fair in Puyallup, begins this weekend. And if you happen to be in the military or you happen to be a veteran, including, of course, those who have served our country in the National Guard and the Reserve, you are invited to the fair on Labor Day for free, and the Monday after that, and the Monday after that. It's Military Appreciation Days. Again, not just one day of the fair, 3 days, the three Mondays of the Puyallup Fair. So if you are active military or reserve or retired, if you've been in the National Guard, you are invited, and so is your family, to the Puyallup Fair, the Washington State Fair, on, again, Labor Day or Monday the 9th or Monday the 16th. All you need to do is show your military ID, and they wave you in. How does that sound? VIP service for our very important Americans who have served our country. I like that. So if you have served, don't forget, it's Military Appreciation Day for the next three Mondays. Now, you might be interested in knowing that on the 16th of September, Monday, September 16th, from 2 to 4 in the afternoon, I will also be out at the fair. We've got a KVI booth out there, giving out swag, lots of KVI fun stuff, but I'm going to be there to meet and greet all of our KVI listeners. And guess what? So is Big Mike.
Yay.
And guess what? Oh, there's our live studio audience, folks. How about that? And our afternoon host, Ari Hoffman.
Hooray.
So, oh, he gets an even bigger cheer.
Yeah.
Anyway, the three of us are going to be out there meeting and greeting and chatting with KVI listeners. And I guess, Big Mike, you're going out there early. You're going out there tomorrow, aren't you?
Yeah, I'll be a part of Media Day for the fair. Me and young Zach are going to go and get a sneak preview so that we can report to the audience on Friday shows what folks are into. I hear rumors that I might be able to pet some cute animals and maybe dip some corn dogs and maybe jump on some of the thrill rides. Maybe not all in that order, but that's an experience I've not had before. So it'll be cool to get like a behind the scenes peek, because I know the crew had a great time last year doing that. So
yes,
look for that report on Friday shows.
I know that our KVI listeners are really hoping you'll bring back a huge bag of scones.
Everybody in the office talked to is like, oh yeah, let me get you my scone order. And I'm like, I don't know if the truck will actually be open, but I will see what I could do.
Okay. But again, for the general population, fair opens on Friday. Okay. 7 minutes after 8 o'clock. The Democrats rubbing their hands together. Oh, good. Instead of all this media coverage about how our nominee for president, Kamala Harris, and her running mate, Tim Walz, are still not doing media interviews. Can you believe this? It has been 5.5 weeks since Kamala Harris became the Democratic nominee, presumptive, and then the Democratic nominee formally at the Democratic National Convention. And neither she nor her running mate have done a single sit-down interview. I've never seen this before in a presidential campaign. I mean, Joe Biden was hiding in the basement in 2020 as, you know, presidential campaign during the middle of the pandemic. But I think even he did an interview or two or a press conference. And she's done neither. This tells you a lot. The people who are closest to Kamala Harris are determined to keep her away from microphones where she might be asked a question for as long as possible. Meantime, Donald Trump and J.D. Vance are going out and they're very accessible to the press. Kamala says that she will be ready on day one to make major change. And J.D. Vance says, wait a minute here.
Kamala, I hate to break it to you, but day one was 1,300 days ago. You've been vice president for 3.5 years. What the hell have you been doing during all that time? The message from this crowd and this state of Michigan is you had your chance, you failed, and we're not giving you a promotion. And Donald J. Trump is coming back to clean up your mess, Kamala Harris, and it's going to start right here in the state of Michigan.
Was speaking in Grand Rapids,
USA,
Michigan.
USA! 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 USA!
All right,
USA.
That's J.D. Vance campaigning in the swing state of Michigan. The Democrats excited because we've got this indictment against Donald Trump. Another indictment. Surely that's going to help us. And again, it just looks again like they're pounding on pavement. George Washington University law professor Jonathan Turley, constitutional law expert and a Democrat, detailed last night on Fox News why this new indictment really doesn't add up to much.
Wait. Jonathan Turley. Jonathan, good evening. What do you make of this? Obviously, the special counsel, it's kind of like the Empire Strikes Back, refiling another indictment here.
Yeah, it's the shrinkflation indictment. It's the same packaging, just less product inside. And what they did is kept the four charges, and they just took out any evidence that clearly would have contradicted the Supreme Court's decision on presidential immunity. It does not hold together, in my view, very well. I don't even think it solves the problem. For example, he's keeping in as one of the four main allegations Trump's communications with and to Pence. That's still presumptively protected under the Supreme Court decision. He also includes communications with members of Congress that could also trip a wire. The first two main theories deal with state officials and the slates, the alternative slates that Trump's team was pushing. So he doesn't really get out of the problem that many still see with this. What's also interesting, Brett, is he keeps the charges of obstruction of official proceedings. There was a second case, the Fisher case, that dramatically narrowed how prosecutors can bring that charge. They have to essentially allege tampering of evidence or destruction of evidence. It's not clear how he's going to thread that needle on those charges.
Yeah.
Okay, in other words, Jack Smith, who has been rebuked by the high court for going beyond the parameters of his authority previously, is still trying to get something going to help the Harris campaign. It ain't going to work. You can call Donald Trump a felon all you want. The only people who care about it are the people who already don't like Trump, because most, again, reasonable Americans of all political persuasions know that the so-called 34 felonies are preposterous, just absurd. And and that it's almost certain to be overturned on appeal, but the Democrats don't care about it. They just wanted to be able to spend the election season saying, we're running against a felon. We're running against a convicted felon. Again, Americans have become so used to this kind of abuse of the process that I don't think they care. I don't think it matters to most people. And when here's the other thing that is bad for the Democrats, when people do look in greater detail about the substance, the content, the quality of the charges against Donald Trump, then they are even less supportive. So that's all you need to know right now about the latest indictment brought by Jack Smith's crusade against Donald Trump. By the way, should we point out that Donald Trump acknowledged having these documents and has claimed that he has the right to have these documents? And when the archives said, no, you don't, they started negotiating back and forth on what documents he needed to return versus which are his. And that's when you had the raid and the claim that Donald Trump was illegally in possession of a classified document. Joe Biden, on the other hand, was taking classified documents throughout his time in the U.S. Senate and as vice president, and he was keeping them in several different locations. And when he was caught, he said, oh, we returned as soon as we knew that we had inadvertently taken possession of some of these documents, we immediately returned them. Okay, first of all, that was all, once again, a Biden lie. Biden knew that he had classified documents. We know this because he's on tape telling his official biographer that he's talking to about where to find various things for the chapter they're working on, and he said the classified documents are in the basement. It's on tape. So he did not return the documents as soon as he knew about them. He kept them for as long as he could in different locations, including in his garage, and had no intention of returning them. And he was investigated, and no charges were brought. So you have Joe Biden, who initially his defenders say, oh, unlike Trump, he didn't know he had the documents. And unlike Trump, he returned them right away. Wrong on both counts. And yet he was not charged. And you have this Jack Smith guy still trying to find a way to charge Trump. The double standards just continue with this crowd. And, you know, the New York case is going to be reversed on appeal. The case in Georgia is already fallen apart and is probably gone for good. Certainly we're not going to see anything before the election. Again, they have turned the legal system into a political weapon, and they've been using the legal system to try and ruin Donald Trump. That is a despicable tactic. You talk about this is the party that wants to save democracy. This is how they are using the tools of democracy, going after political opponents, trying to get Donald Trump thrown off the ballot. Then they were trying to get Robert F. Kennedy Jr. thrown off the ballot as a third party candidate. Now that he has endorsed Trump, they're trying to keep him on the ballot. It's just these people are such whores. They really, there's no virtue whatsoever to these people. This is how they are saving democracy and then keeping their nominee in the closet, away from the media, away from the Fourth Estate, the voice of the freedom of the press. Keep her away from them. This is how they save democracy. Wow. It tells you a lot about how they really think about democracy. Also tells you a thing or two about what they think about their nominee. It is coming up here on 19 and a half minutes after 8 o'clock. When we come back, oh my goodness, Big Mike's favorite segment of the day, social media from socialists. He's got a bevy of nuggets here to share with us right around the corner. Again, is at 20 minutes after 8. Good morning, The Commute with Carlson, rolling along this Wednesday morning. All right, 25 minutes after 8 o'clock in the morning, The Commute with Carlson, Talk Radio 570 KVI. All right, you got a nice fast tempo courtesy of the Go-Go's there, Big Mike. See if you can keep the beat here with your favorite segment of the day, social media from Socialists.
I see what you did there, John. Well, let's talk about a federal judge has blocked the Federal Trade Commission's non-compete ban, and Pramila Jayapal is posting about it. The Twitter 20, I heard it on the X, the social media sweep, sponsored by Muckleshoot Casino Resort. So Pramila Jayapal, nobody's favorite socialist from right here in Seattle, who so desperately wants to be a part of the squad, but she's too aggressively uncool and probably too old as well. But she keeps trying.
Rashida Tlaib does not strike me as cool.
No, no, but
neither did Jamal Bowman when
there,
he was
there. There it is. Oh, man, RIP that guy's career. But so Pramila Jayapal reposts a article from The Hill talking about this federal judge blocking a FTC non-compete ban. A federal judge blocked a nationwide ban on non-compete agreements from taking effect in September. The Federal Trade Commission voted in April to ban most non-compete agreements, which prevent tens of millions of employees from leaving their jobs to work for competitors or to start a competing business.
Well, what it means is if you leave, for instance, I have a non-compete.
Correct, yes.
If I leave this job tomorrow, I can't work for another radio station anywhere in the vicinity for, I think, 6 months.
Something like that. Yeah, that's
so
usually standard.
Basically, it's you can't just jump over and start working for the competition. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people say, well, wait a minute, you should be able to go, you know, just like a baseball player, you know, if they want to go over to another company, they should be able to do that.
I think you looked over my shoulder and you saw some of my prep, because that was actually some of the material I wanted to talk about, John. But basically, a Dallas-based firm, Ryan LLC, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, the Business Roundtable, and other businesses groups sued to block the rule from going to effect, alleging agency overreach would make it harder for companies to retain talent. The U.S. District Judge Ada Brown in Dallas said the FTC had overstepped its statutory authority and called the rule, quote unquote, arbitrary and capricious. So that's part of this article from The Hill. Now let's get to what Pramila Jayapal is posting about. So she reposted this article with a caption: "The freedom to change jobs is a fundamental right, which is why the Biden-Harris FTC banned non-compete agreements. But now a Trump appointee's decision to overturn the ban is undermining that important economic freedom for millions of Americans." She continues, "That's why it's vital that Congress pass my Stop Corporate Capture Act and codify Chevron deference. Unless we act now, we will see many more far-right judges imposing their policy views above those of nonpartisan experts at public agencies like the FTC." So my question to John Carlson, who currently has a non-compete, where do you stand in all this?
I don't like non-competes. I think they are constitutional,
mm-hmm,
because you freely go into, you know, a contract. If Pramila really believed what she was saying, well, this would be easy. Simply file a suit and have the Supreme Court decide whether or not a non-compete clause is a restraint of trade.
Gotcha.
But I think that looking at it from both sides, let's say you're a startup company,
mm-hmm,
and you've got lots of trade secrets.
Sure.
And then, you know, someone wants a big promotion, doesn't get a promotion, says, fine, I'm going to cross the street, take all my trade secrets with me to the competition. That's why. Especially in the world of intellectual property. That's why non-competes are used so much. And they're also used in media. Do I like them? No, I don't like them.
Right. Great insight. I appreciate that. And that's your social media moment for this. I'll have more tomorrow.
All right. Very good. And good timing here. It is 8:30 on the John Carlson Show, Talk Radio 570 KVI. We've got the Tacoma Police Department releasing video of them making arrests for a vehicle theft ring that had been at it for quite some time, and most of the people working for it under 18. What's going on here? I'll explain why this ring was designed to work the way it was, coming right up on the commute. 24 minutes to 9 o'clock. John Carlson Show, Talk Radio 570 KVI. Again, just so hilarious that we were just talking about Kamala Harris changing her mind on a policy that she outlined. The only policy she's outlined since she became the Democrats' choice to replace Joe Biden was that she was going to open a formal office to go after price gouging, to go after the people who are really causing the high prices, all those corporations that are exploiting what's going on and inflating their prices, which, by the way, the facts show is not the case. The consumer price index and the producer price index, which is the wholesale market, if you will, and then the retail market, they track each other very closely, which indicates that as producer prices have gone up, what do you know? Consumer prices have gone up as well. But that was the one position she has taken. She has already backtracked on it. So she's not just backtracking on positions she took just 4 or 5 years ago. Now she's backtracking on positions she took 2 weeks ago. She now says, no, that's only going to be used in emergencies and would require legislation that the Congress probably wouldn't pass, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, they're walking away as quickly as possible because when she unveiled it, it landed with a thud. And now, of course, she's also come out in favor of building more border wall. She's indicated she is a thumbs up for building more border wall. She called it a stupid idea 4 years ago. She called it a medieval vanity project 3 years ago. And not 3 years ago, 5 years ago. And now, of course, she's changed her mind on that as well. Just unbelievable, the positions that she's changing as this campaign progresses. And she refuses to come out and talk about any of them to the press. And the press are not pushing her to do so. And the press's reaction to her refusing to do press conferences or interviews is not to emphasize this day after day. We've got a candidate for president who will not talk to the press. It's to cover for her. And that when Donald Trump or J.D. Vance speak to the press, they think it's their duty now to represent the Kamala Harris campaign. Since she won't represent herself, it's up to us to represent her. No, it really isn't. Let's put it this way. If it was Donald Trump who was refusing to talk to the press, would the press be representing Donald Trump's positions in interviews? Kinda, sorta, don't think so. Anyway, let's get back to issues in front of us here. The Tacoma Police Department earlier this week released video of several arrests they've made in a car theft ring that's been linked to at least 45 stolen cars. And it's kind of fun watching the arrests being made. They've been making arrests since throughout the summer, actually. And they have recovered some vehicles, and they have made, I think, 5 arrests so far. Quote, the video we put out was the last 2 captures of a ring of vehicle theft folks that our detectives have been investigating for months, said Shelby Boyd, the Tacoma Police Department PIO, that's Public Information Officer. What's interesting is that many of the car thieves are 15, 16, 17 years of age. And the aforementioned Shelby Boyd from the Tacoma Police Department says, you know, I would ask parents, if you see things going on in your kids' lives, they're getting into cars with friends that you know either don't have a license or don't have vehicles, investigate that a little more. The best investigator in the world is a parent. We don't want 15, 16-year-old kids stealing cars. It's dangerous, et cetera, et cetera. For heaven's sakes, it sounds like she's warning against, you know, skateboarding in areas that aren't skate parks or using fireworks. Hey, they're little thugs. They're criminals. They're stealing other people's cars. If you don't own a home, the most valuable thing you own is your car, okay? They're criminals. They're committing crimes. You know, stop acting like, hey, you know, you shouldn't be riding a bike without a helmet. You can fall off and crack your head. Hey, you shouldn't be stealing cars. That's dangerous. Anyway, don't want to get sidetracked because I want to focus on the fact that basically this is a juvenile, if it's not a juvenile lead theft ring, then it's a ring that uses juveniles to do the stealing. The actual operation of the theft ring were by older people. So what's going on here? Here's what's going on. There's next to no penalty for car theft. I don't know why that is, because if there's anything that Democrats and Republicans should agree on, it's that an automobile is often the ticket to the land of opportunity. You can go more places and find more places to work if you've got a car than if you don't. You know, a bus, light rail, other public transit, they can get you to, I don't know, maybe 30-40% of the jobs in your vicinity. A car will get you to 100% of them.
Just like owning a horse, John. What do we do with horse thieves?
Well, they were a little less nuanced there. They were a little less forgiving when you were caught stealing a horse. But the bottom line here is there's a lot of folks living hand-to-mouth who are having a tough time with all these rising prices. And when they lose their car, they lose their livelihood. They lose their freedom. I don't know why we don't punish car theft far more severely than we do. But this is a deliberate policy choice. Again, here we go. Our single-party regime in Olympia doesn't want people, especially juveniles, going being incarcerated for car theft. So somehow they don't look at the victim of the car theft. They look at the perpetrator and said, boy, this guy's making a real mistake. It would be a shame to see him suffer for it. So that is why you see so many cars being stolen. You know, Washington ranks second in America in car theft. Did you know that? We rank second among the 50 states in stolen vehicles. That is directly a product of not punishing car theft. And it is a statement by our criminal justice system that car theft really isn't that big a deal. You know what? I think it's a very big deal. And that's another ad that Dave Reichert should be making right now. In Washington, they don't think stealing a car is a big deal. I think it's a very big deal. I think that if you've been convicted more than once of car theft and you steal another car, you belong in jail. That's what I think a lot of people are waiting to hear. That's what they need to hear. We really do need to completely overhaul our criminal justice system and put more justice into our criminal justice system. Justice for the criminal, meaning accountability for their action. They're using juveniles because juveniles are even held less responsible than adults. You're likely not going to be sent to juvie, to the juvenile justice center, to juvie jail, unless you are caught stealing a car like 6, 7, 8 times. We've got to stop playing this game. The game is, if you get a break and you abuse that break and commit another crime, there are immediate consequences. If you didn't get the message after the first round of consequences, clearly we need more severe consequences. Okay, that's not mean. That's fair. People choose. Yes, even juveniles. Think when you were 15, 16, 17 years old. What, the guy making trouble? The troublemaker in your class didn't know he was making trouble? Again, giving someone a break, giving some counseling, you know, if there's drugs involved, giving them the option of treatment. But if they continue committing crime, if you don't ratchet up consequences, then one thing and one thing only is guaranteed: more crime. We know it because we're living it right now. It's 11 minutes to 9 o'clock on the John Carlson Show, Talk Radio 570 KVI. Back we are, the John Carlson Show, Talk Radio 570 KVI. We have a pair of Seattle police officers injured, thank goodness not seriously, trying to recover a stolen car. Here's Como 4's Preston Phillips.
This happened on August 6th in Ballard, but police just released this information. The officers found the car parked in front of a business on Northwest Ballard Way. When they tried to arrest the driver, he threw the car into reverse, knocked the officers right to the ground. Officers pinned that suspect's vehicle, then tased him when he jumped out and tried to run away. He now faces a variety of charges, including felony assault, eluding police, and DUI.
Well, I'm glad they tased him. I just wish it had been about 15 or 20 times, you know, but someone like that, what a jerk. Anyway, I want to end the show with the words of the parents of Jada Woods Johnson. This is the 13-year-old girl who was fatally shot inside the Alderwood Mall in July. I had mentioned this before. They want the law changed to be tougher on juvenile criminals. This girl had nothing to do with troublemakers. She was just inside the food court and was hit by a stray bullet. Her life ended, again, by a juvenile. Here's Michelle Esteban from Como 4.
What they want to see is the law changed. And for such suspected crimes, no bail, no release, a minimum hold time of up to 72 hours. Now, also, the petition does call for a couple other things, including addressing the rash of juvenile crime that we have been seeing here and in neighboring counties. It asks for a six-month mandatory sentence for juveniles found in illegal possession of a firearm, even if they have no prior criminal history. The petition right now has some momentum. So far, nearly 2,500 signatures in just a couple weeks. The hope for this family is to get those signatures, get some momentum, and to see an initiative eventually make the ballot. In Breyer, I'm Michelle Esteban, Como News.
Any of this sound familiar?
Hauntingly so, unfortunately.
There is a certain radio talk show host who's talked about doing an initiative that addresses juvenile crime and calls for getting much tougher on armed juveniles, particularly repeat offenders. We look forward to having someone from Jada's family join us, and I would like to help them. And it will take a ballot measure because the one-party regime would never pass meaningful juvenile crime reform legislation. But you know what? As Brian Haywood has shown us all, it can be done. We can just go over the heads of the legislature directly to the people. We the people. They can fix this. We can fix this. Now, get out and enjoy this wonderful day.